For example, if we say the word water, 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 it doesn't mean that our thirst is quenched, because water and the name water are different. Similarly, if we say the name of some gentleman, it doesn't mean that the gentleman is here. He's somewhere else. We may be saying his name. However, on the spiritual platform, everything is accessible. It's like now in computers, they're approaching this and they're very excited that you can simply by clicking on a particular word, then the word comes and then there's color and you see the form of it and you hear sounds, and they're very happy about this because it opens up another dimension of experience. Not just that you're reading a word, you're reading along on a text and suddenly you press the button and then it comes. So that means that they're looking, they also want this non-duality. They want the absolute. They're looking for it. They want the sounds, they want the color, they want the full experience. But unfortunately, they're trying to find an absolute in this material nature, which is full of duality. They'll never be able to find the absolute because it's limited. This place is not suited for that. This is a place which is governed by time. As long as there's time, there'll be duality, past, present, future. Therefore, we have to transcend time if we want to enter into the realm of the absolute, Advaita Gyan. No duality. It means beyond time and space. Also, they have a space problem here. Space problem in that if an object is one place, it cannot be in another place. It cannot be in two places at the same time. This is a problem for them. But in the spiritual world, there's no such problems because it's not made of material space and there's no material time. Everything's eternal and everything can be present in more than one place. For example, Krishna. Krishna, just to demonstrate this, when he was on this planet, he also brought in some of the activities of the spiritual world. He brought the spiritual world, the environment of the spiritual world with him. Therefore, he could display pastimes which are inconceivable to this world. For example, in this world, if a man marries more than one wife, let's say he marries five wives, and he gives each one of his wives a house to live in. Well, at the end of the day, when he goes to enter the house of his wife, he has to pick one or the other of the five. He cannot go into all five. How can he do that? He may go into one for a little while, then go to the other. He can do that. But when Krishna married not five wives, but 16,000 wives, to be exact, 16,108, he gave each one of them a palace, beautiful palace. And he stayed with each queen continuously. He expanded himself into 16,108 forms. And none of the queens knew that he was expanding himself and that he was staying with the other queens. They could not understand that. All they could understand was that Krishna, their dear beloved husband, was staying with them. And they were completely satisfied having Krishna all the time. Each one of them was completely satisfied, even a little proud that Krishna doesn't even leave me. He's so attached to me. He doesn't even care about the other queens. He never even goes there. Narad Muni, however, he knew. Narad Muni, because he's a great mystic yogi, he also can travel very quickly by his mystic power. And very, very learned. So when he came to Dvaraka, he wanted to see Krishna. So he went to one palace. And he saw that Krishna was there. Rukmini's palace, he was engaged. So then after a brief time, then he left quickly. And he's very fast. He's a yogi. He can travel faster than the speed of mind. He went to another palace of Krishna. And there was Krishna engaged in something completely different. He was playing chess with someone and the game was already progressing. He could see that the game hadn't... It's not that Krishna rushed over there to beat him. And then they just set up a chess match to make it, you know, some kind of a show. No, the chess match had already been going on. The men, the pieces were stacked up on the sides. You could see that the match was in progress. People were watching. So then he understood, wait a minute, now if Krishna was just there a few moments ago with Rukmini, and now he's here playing chess, and the game is already progressive, so what's happening? So then he paid his respects, then immediately went to another palace. And there was Krishna engaged in a big wedding ceremony, marrying one of his children. One of his children were getting married, and the ceremony, it's not that they had just started it, it was already in progress, the brides were there, the parents of the bride, everyone was gathered. And then he went to another palace, and here Krishna was dressed incognito, he was spying, just walking around the area to see what the people in general were thinking. Sometimes kings have to do this. Kings have to sometimes engage in espionage and these kinds of activities. So finally Narad Muni could understand that this is amazing. Krishna is in every palace, unique, separate from the others. He's engaging in all different activities, yet he's one. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana navayovanam cha. This is the Lord Brahma describes this, that although he's one, he's advaita, he's non-dual, completely transcendental, and he's infallible, but still he has hundreds and thousands, unlimited forms, and he can expand into all those forms simultaneously. This is the spiritual realm, not limited by any material conceptions. And we shouldn't think that, oh, if I go back to the spiritual world, oh, there's so many people there, it'll be overcrowded. I don't like crowds. And I won't be happy because I'll have to share Krishna with so many others. No, this is, again, material conception. We're thinking with our limited material minds and space problems, and no. Krishna is capable of satisfying everyone all the time. Even when Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance, he also expanded himself, because otherwise the gopis might be disappointed if he was only dancing with Radharani in the center. They also wanted to dance with him. So Krishna likes to please his devotees, bhaktavatsala. So he's capable of pleasing. Therefore, an intelligent woman will only accept Krishna as her husband. This is the conclusion that Rukmini came to, Queen Rukmini, the first queen. She said, why should a woman accept anyone else as their husband? They can't actually satisfy a wife. They can't protect a wife. Which man, which husband is there who can protect his wife from danger? He may have big muscles or guns, but ultimately he can't protect. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to protect someone, then they're protected. It's like Draupadi found that out. When Draupadi was in the assembly and in difficulty, she called upon her husbands, but none of them could do anything. She had five of the greatest kshatriyas on the planet. They couldn't protect her. So then she called out for Krishna. But Krishna is the real protector. But we should always remember that and not become bewildered thinking that my wife, my family will protect me, my home. These are called fallible soldiers. In the Bhagavatam, there's a verse that describes how the bewildered person, the materialistic householder, surrounded by his wife and children and home, and he thinks he's protected. These are his soldiers, but actually, they're fallible. So, Krishna's name is of the same absolute nature. When we hear the name Krishna, it's not that it's a material sound. It's a spiritual sound. And in that spiritual sound, Krishna is personally present. And his form is there, all the spiritual worlds are there, all the energies. Purnashuddho, Nityamukto. Purnash, it's complete, full, everything's there. Chintamani, Nama Chintamani Krishna. It's of the same spiritual nature. So we don't have to be disappointed that Krishna was present 5,000 years ago and we weren't there. And now we're here, but he's not here. He went back to the spiritual world. Now what about us? We'll never get to experience Krishna. No. Krishna is available in this age also. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. He's available in the form of his holy name. In fact, he's so available in the form of his holy name that one can become liberated very easily by chanting his holy name. And the proof is ourselves. Before we chanted the holy names as given by the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. We may have chanted before that, but didn't have so much effect. But when we chanted in pursuance of the instructions of the spiritual master, then the chanting began to have effect, more effect. Because the name of Krishna is always pure and always spiritual. But when it's chanted by a pure devotee, it becomes increased, becomes more effective, has more potency. Why? Because Krishna arranges it like that. Krishna likes his devotees to be glorified. So, like for example, when Srila Prabhupada began chanting Hare Krishna. Before that, Allen Ginsberg was chanting, but no one was becoming devotees in America. Ginsberg was chanting, but even Ginsberg wasn't even a devotee. What to speak of the others who were chanting? Wasn't having the effect. Or Hare. I went to see the play Hare before I met the devotees. And they chanted Hare Krishna in there, but no one was becoming a devotee. But when Srila Prabhupada chanted, then, and his followers chanted, then it started having so much potency. That is the power of the holy name mixed with the devotees, mixed. It's like Krishna, or Sanjaya says in the Bhagavad Gita, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the greatest archer, there will be victory, opulence, morality, power, etc. So that is the combination between Krishna and the devotees. It's a loving exchange. Krishna never comes alone. You never see a picture or a painting of Krishna just standing alone. There's always some devotees there. Even cows are devotees, or peacocks, or gopis, cowherd boys. He likes to be with his devotees. It's like when we say, the king is coming. The king doesn't come alone. He has his ministers, his bodyguards, his queens. So similarly, Krishna is the supreme king, and wherever he goes, he brings his associates with him and his paraphernalia, his entourage. In fact, even when a king goes someplace, it's considered to be like the kingdom they set up, or like the palace. It's all arranged for his work, for what he wants to do. So certainly when Krishna comes, he brings his abode with him. Now Krishna's come in the form of his holy name in this age, and all we have to do to get association with Krishna directly, to be transported to the spiritual world, is to chant his name. That's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered to be so magnanimous, because he's making it so easy to go back to Godhead simply by chanting. Krishna ordered that you must surrender. He said, just give up everything and surrender to me. Then we'll see. But Lord Chaitanya is not making any conditions. He's giving love of God very easily. Simply by chanting, one can get pure love of God. And that means also one is getting association with Krishna. Unfortunately, we're so fallen that we have no taste even for the chanting. Even though we can associate with Krishna very easily, we can go to the spiritual world just by chanting. Golokera Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtan. Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilat Mabhuto. Krishna is there in the spiritual world. He's available by chanting His holy name. But as Lord Chaitanya said, even though you've made yourself available, all your potencies are there in your holy name, and you have so many names, I can chant any of them, but still I have no attraction. Namaragaha. I have no attraction. So I'm so fallen. So this should be our lamentation. This is the lamentation of the great devotees, that even though it's so easy, everything is so nice, Krishna has made himself available, but still I have no attraction. I'm still attracted to this, to the Maya. I like to chant other names other than Krishna's name. But anyway, still the instruction is here that yajna vigna, vigna nash, all the vigna, all the obstacles can be removed very easily by chanting. But we have problems sometimes. We think we have so many obstacles in our service, you know, with the mind. The biggest obstacle is the mind. The mind is the mind is our worst enemy for most of us, because the mind is uncontrolled. Well, the mind is always telling us so many crazy things, giving us so many obstacles, one after the other. It never stops. I've got you finish those obstacles, I've got more for you today. Hundreds today. I've got a whole list. And then we go through the obstacles. But if you don't have to go through the obstacle list, you don't have to try to knock down each one with your fists. Just with your tongue, chant Hare Krishna. And all the obstacles go away, and then we realize, hey, I thought I had so many problems. But there's no more problems. If I just chant the holy names, there's no more problems. No, it's too simple. Just like nowadays, there's, you know, I was speaking with some persons, devotees, and they were saying that we have to purify ourselves. We have to go for the child within. We have to do something, purify. I said, well, why don't we just chant? Isn't that what chanting is for? To purify ourselves from all of our past problems. He said, no, we're too disturbed to even chant. So then, of course, if it's true we're too disturbed to chant, then we're in a very difficult situation. But chanting is there for anyone. That is actually the process. If we try to find another process that precedes that first we have to do this, then we can chant. No, that's not what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said. Everyone can chant. And that's what he did wherever he went. Lord Chaitanya, he didn't speak philosophy to the people in general, and he didn't discuss Rasa Leela. But he encouraged them to chant Sankirtan. He had big kirtan. So that will be the process to eliminate all the obstacles. They asked Prabhupada, what about the Middle East? How to solve the problems in the Middle East? He said, just kirtan, chant. Chanting is the panacea. It'll solve all the problems, political problems, financial problems, marital problems, you name it, whatever problem, mental problem, whatever problem you've got, just chant. No, it's too easy. I said, I need something more complicated, something more profound. Why? Chanting is so profound. In the holy name of the Lord, all the Vedas are there. All the Vedic knowledge. And all the bliss is there. Krishna is there. The spiritual world is there. All of Krishna's associates are there. And even the material worlds are there. Even you're there. Ultimately, because in the holy name of the Lord, Krishna is there, and we're all part of Krishna. That's not profound. Not profound enough for you? You need something more philosophical, more... It's the most profound. The problem is that we're too dull. We've become like the animals. By associating with the animals, we've become like animals now. Animals don't chant, and we also don't like to chant. So let us come out of the animal kingdom, and let us even come out of the human kingdom and go to the spiritual world. Kirtaniya Sadahari. We should chant as much as possible. 24 hours. How can we do that? Trinadapi Sunichena. In order to do that, we have to develop this humble attitude. Trinadapi, like lower than the straw on the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. This is the mood that will allow us to go on chanting. And if we go on chanting, there'll be no obstacles. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Comments? Well, of course, Krishna is not a product of a particular language. He's the source of everything. So Krishna's name is also eternal, so there's no beginning. Krishna does mean all attractive. It also means the destruction of our material miseries. So, the name of Krishna is eternal. And if we chant, then our material miseries will be solved, and Krishna is all attractive. Therefore, it's considered to be the primary name of all the Vedic, of all the names of God. It is the Mukhya, it is the chief name, because it is complete. It's very intimate. At the same time, it explains everything. And Krishna likes to be... that is the original form also. Vishnu is a subsequent form. Of course, on the eternal platform, there is no subsequent. But still, that is how it's explained, that Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. So therefore, Krishna's name is even more potent than all other names. The primary fruit of chanting is love of God. Peacefulness is one of the corollary benefits one gets also. Love of God includes peace. How can you... Yes, the full fruit of love of God includes peace and happiness and knowledge and everything. So it's just one of the corollaries. If you get love of God, you have everything. Pardon? Is the entire Sanskrit language eternal? Well, this is the language that Krishna uses in the spiritual world, Sanskrit. So it appears that this is how Krishna converses. He uses this language for his pastimes and his activities. Any other questions? Material miseries. Yes. Any other? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantaral Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.